Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelow
and Sophie Kessler. Welcome back to the Mind Mastery and Manifestation podcast. Today is going to be an interesting episode as we are diving deep into understanding infidelity. Now, if you've been with us more recently, you'll know that we've been in the midst of a total series around relationships, understanding how to create wonderful relationships, challenges in relationships. And we wanted to dedicate an entire episode to this challenge specifically: how to handle infidelity, how to heal from infidelity, and understanding really what are the root causes of infidelity. So we're going to be covering all of this in today's episode to really help you give an insight into, is this the end of your relationship or is this just the beginning?
So I don't know if you guys have experienced this. I know what it's like to feel cheated on, and that sucks. And it's real easy to go into blaming, attacking, or self-attacking at that point, and all of that does not help. You know, if you get into that, the relationship at that point might be doomed, right? Because there, you're actually avoiding one of the biggest, most important questions is, really, what was not there that was causing this? Usually when people cheat, it's because they are not having their needs met within the relationship. Now, this can happen from a couple of different places. It could be, and by the way, if you aren't familiar with what I mean when I say needs, please go back into the toolkit, first 10 episodes, and find the episode where we do talk about needs, the six basic human needs, and what they mean, how to provide them for yourself, how to provide them for each other. But there are two main ways in which a relationship cannot fulfill and not provide for a need. Three. The first one is that the individual is not providing it for themselves. They are not coming into the relationship whole. And so they are seeking the need to be fulfilled from someone else, like a druggie. Now, the second one is that the partner is not doing their part of providing for that need. They're not showing the love that the other person needs, or the significance or certainty or variety or whatever the other person needs. And the last one is that the person who is doing the needing, right, who is not getting the need met, is currently incapable of allowing themselves to feel the satisfaction of that need. For example, and that could be a little tricky one. We've gone over the other two, by the way, in many other episodes, but this one is new. For example, partner goes into the relationship and needs love, wants love and intimacy, but at the same time does not allow themselves to feel it because they either feel like they are not worthy of love, or they feel like they're not good enough for their partner, or they feel like intimacy is scary, that they can't open up because they'll be judged or rejected. Or if they have a block on intimacy with other people because of something that happened in their childhood, probably from their parents. And so in each one of these cases, the person may start looking outside of the relationship for satisfaction of these needs, right? So we have to first start there and understand, you know, where is it that the partnership here has failed to provide for something critically important?
So this is interesting because most people's immediate response when they find out or they discover or they've been told that their partner has cheated is anger. Is anger and resentment and judgment and frustration. And you have to understand that if you are approaching this very delicate situation from those emotional states, it is not going to be the ground for healing and for understanding and for compassion. Number one, when you are in the situation or you know of somebody that is in the situation, or maybe you are the person creating the situation, it's having compassion, coming from a place of compassion and curiosity where judgment does not exist. And this is so, so, so crucial, especially if your goal is to come from a place where you can love and heal the relationship. Now, if you don't want anything to do with this person and you never want anything to do with them ever again, and you just want to judge and be angry and frustrated and be bitter, go for it. And that's a great way to end the relationship. But if you are wanting to heal yourself, number one, and heal the relationship and help this person heal themselves, then compassion is going to be key here. So become curious. Become observant around yourself, how you've been showing up, and around your partner, how they've been showing up. And just like Dan mentioned, really allowing you and them to discover what may be at the root cause, right? And because again, infidelity is the result of something much deeper. It's not the actual problem itself. So what we want to do for you and for your partner is to really get down to what is the root cause, whether it's something unconscious or whether it's something that maybe is just occurring more recently.
It's also really important to note a few different things here. First of all, it is possible to cheat on someone you love. Possible. That it doesn't necessarily mean, oh, just because they cheated on me means they don't love me. Not true. Not always true. Sometimes true. I'm not going to say that it's not, right? Some people do need to be kicked to the curb. By the way, we have an entire episode coming up about how to end relationships. But for the meantime, it is possible to cheat on someone you love. And you know what's really interesting is a lot of the time that I've spoken to people who have cheated on their partners, they didn't know why they did it. That is so important. They didn't know why they did it. And they'll say, I don't know, something came over me. I was drunk, or I was just really emotional, or right. They're not even conscious of this thing. So it's possible that maybe both partners don't know what went wrong, don't know what was missing. So that's why it's so important when you're cultivating a relationship to really talk about your needs, talk about your values up front. This is what's important to me. This is what I need. Here are my love languages. This is, you know, how I like to be treated. Now, if you're thinking right now, oh no, I shouldn't have to say this, then you're part of the problem. Sorry. Because, you know, we're not all mind readers. Why? Why leave it up to chance? Just take the risk out of it. Talk about it. That way you can help each other feel fulfilled throughout the entire relationship. Because here we can see that sometimes until we have these conversations, we don't even know what we need. So you ask these questions of yourself and your partner, maybe it's a complete mystery to everybody. And so that means that when something is missing, nobody knows. And it's not a conscious thing. It's just the feeling of something is wrong, or I'm unhappy, I'm missing something, don't know what, I haven't been happy in a long time. And you got to ask these questions, because then you can really find what's going on, see that maybe the infidelity was nothing personal. Maybe it was really a cry for help. Maybe it was an acting out to get attention. Maybe it was a way to feel significant because they weren't getting that in the relationship. You got to talk about this stuff. And you've really got to dig and accept no shallow answers, right? Because I was unhappy. Why? What have you not been getting? Oh, I haven't been getting happiness. Nope, not deep enough. That's not good enough. Happiness comes from somewhere, right? It comes from someplace. So dig, really dig. If you care about how you feel and how this person feels, and if you want a prayer of bringing this relationship back together after infidelity, then you've got to ask these questions and settle for nothing less than a complete, honest, open answer and a complete understanding of what you need and what your partner needs. That way you can provide it for each other, and that way you can heal from this.
This is definitely one that hits home for me especially. And here are a few really, really big keys. Number one, it's not to take anything personally. This is huge because this can be the first step of going into that spiral of blame and frustration and anger and it's not a very healthy way of dealing with this. So here's what I'll admit. More recently, within the last year or 6 months, my partner, who's an absolutely amazing, amazing man, and I love him to death, and we have a beautiful relationship, admitted to me one day that he had sex with somebody one time and that it didn't mean anything. And when I heard that, it was first that disbelief, right? And it was interesting because I could feel myself wanting to go to that place of judgment and anger and frustration. But I had to take a step back because from my perspective at that time, it was, okay, well, why would he feel the need to do that? And what's actually going on? And what was interesting is when I responded from a place of compassion and understanding, it completely changed the dynamic of that conversation, where I could see in his eyes how angry and frustrated and irritated and mad at himself he was. And that allowed me to come from a place of, oh my gosh, here's this, like, the way that I would look at it is this poor person had to feel so whatever that thing is to where they feel they needed to go do this. And now they're beating themselves up and they're angry and they're frustrated and whatever else is coming up. So if you are finding yourself in the situation on either end, it's recognizing and acknowledging how you're feeling with those emotions. And instead of making yourself wrong for it, again, acknowledge that and be willing to have the conversation. And if you are on the other end of that conversation, receiving it, coming from a place of compassion and understanding, not judging and being angry and yelling and screaming, but coming from a place of, okay, let's understand this. Let's figure out what's really going on. And that situation, for me, it was, I was dumbfounded. I was like, well, where did this come from? I thought everything was going great. And you'll hear this a lot of times, especially in a lot of longer term marriages, where one person feels like everything is great and it's handy dandy. And the other person for so long has been feeling so insignificant or feeling like they haven't had their needs met. And again, ways to make sure that this doesn't occur in your relationship is to have a space where you can have that open communication, where you can communicate openly. So in our specific scenario, I was so unpresent in the relationship, not being aware of my partner's needs, that I was completely oblivious to the fact that they were feeling insignificant in their own part of the relationship because I wasn't providing that. And in that, it snowballed into other areas of their life where they started to feel less confident. And so they started to seek significance outside of the relationship. So I had to sit there and take responsibility for my own lack of action, or actions thereof. And number two, for them to also recognize that what was showing up for them and how they were approaching that. So as you can see, when you start to look at it from a place of compassion rather than judgment, it allows you to get down to, like Dan mentioned, the real root of what's actually going on. And so the next piece of that is understanding, okay, well, where do we want to go from here? And I think this is a very, very powerful question. Do we want to heal this relationship? Do we want to be together? Do we want to make this work? Or do we want to reevaluate the situation and consider whether or not we really do want to be together? Because knowing the outcome is very, very important in making decisions moving forward. And this doesn't mean you need to make decisions right away. What I would encourage is actually taking some time and some space to really digest everything before making any rash decisions. And reconsidering, okay, what is it we really want? Do we want to heal this relationship? Do we love each other? Do we want to make this work? And making sure that both people are on the same page, that they both want to move forward. And if one person doesn't and one person does, then that's going to be a different conversation. But if you're coming from a place of wanting to heal, then it's coming from a place of, okay, let's understand this. Let's figure out what needs are wanting to be met and what responsibility each person has in that.
And here it's really important to remember to make decisions from a powerful state. Anytime you make a decision from a powerless or negative state, you're going to get unwanted consequences. And it's real easy. I know it was a long time ago before I knew any of this, but I can still sort of imagine what I had felt like when I, you know, figured it out that I had been cheated on. right into a rage, right? And making a decision from there, terrible idea, real bad. So like Sophie said, you got to take some time, cool down, do whatever you need in order to make sure you can get back into a powerful, self-loving, gracious, accepting, forgiving, even compassionate state, and then make your decisions. Then decide how you want to move forward. And then look, if you come from that state and you say, hey, I'm still out, good, fine, by all means, right? But the last thing you want to do is kind of flip out and out of sadness or anger or feeling hurt, quit, right? Just leave, because you might make a decision that you'll regret, or you might, even if you are going to break up, maybe you'll say things or act in a certain way during that time that isn't really you. And you might bring in even more negativity as a result of that. Now, here's a really important thing here. I just kind of want to highlight from Sophie's story. By the way, thank you so much for sharing that. You know, I know it's something really personal. That had she reacted out of a powerless state when she was told that, you know, potentially heartbreaking news, then she could have gotten angry. She could have attacked him. She could have said some nasty things. She could have blown up. And if his thing was that he wasn't feeling significant enough in the relationship, and that's why he did that, then that response out of Sophie would have just pushed him into even more insignificance. It would have brought him down even further, making the problem even worse. And then the relationship might have gone to an irreparable level of broken, right? That is, you just can't, right? So that's the thing. You know, when you find out that news, remember, if you have to, just leave the room. You're like, nope, can't respond right now. Emotionally compromised. I can't think clearly. And then leave. And then return to this when you're in a powerful position where you can think clearly. And instead of making the problem even worse, resolve it.
Absolutely. And so once you are able to get down to really what is the root of the problem, right? What was really the cause? What was really the underlying reason for that behavior? Then it's coming from a place of, okay, let's start to figure out what needs to happen moving forward. What does this person need? How do I need to show up differently? And making sure that you're very, very clear about setting boundaries. This is very, very important, because oftentimes you'll hear, well, how can I trust them if it's never going to happen again? And it's making sure that, again, communication is absolutely crucial here. It's making sure that you and your partner both understand that what are the boundaries that we need to set so that we can set that standard and so we can start to rebuild trust in the relationship.
And when we're talking about that, remember this, self-love, the most important thing, right? Self-love and loving others does not always mean letting them get away with everything, okay? It also means knowing exactly what you are prepared to experience, what you are prepared to feel, and then having your boundaries, having your limits. Because allowing someone to hurt you is not always a sign of loving them. Okay, and it's not a sign of loving yourself. So allowing someone to get away with it, so it's like, let's forget it. No. You've got to address it, either heal it or break things off. But that in-between thing, that's not loving them, that's not loving you, that's not forgiveness. That is actually the exact opposite of all of it. So just remember that, right? Really take care of yourself, take care of them. And if it's something that they've got to go through, but they're not able to process it because they're in a relationship right now, because really what they need is some healing on their own, then loving them also might be letting them go, saying like, hey, you know what? I love you, but you're not ready for this relationship. It's obvious. I can't provide what you're looking for, or you're not accepting what I'm providing. And it's really time now for you to go and heal, right? Because when you do that, you actually allow the relationship to come back later. Again, you're doing this out of a powerful position where it's like, okay, cool. If this is what we need right now, great. Go do it. Go handle that. Or if you're in a phase of your life where you need to get it out of your system, you feel like this crisis and you need to go and just like hook up with a bunch of people and experience life. Good, fine. go with blessings. Because that leaves the door open then, if you want it to be open, to reconnect later. And I think that's kind of awesome. I used to burn bridges all the time in my relationships. It's not cool. It's not fun. It's not great. There's no satisfaction in it. Even when someone cheated on me, going out in fire and brimstone did not feel good. And it just sucked. And it just made sure that no matter what, we were done. And that was kind of sad.
And I think the biggest thing in here that you guys are going to hear again from me and Dan over and over and over is communicating, even when it's really, really tough, and recognizing and acknowledging what's showing up for you, right? Maybe you're in a place where you don't want to continue in the relationship. And like Dan mentioned, you want to go and explore other opportunities, or you want to go and go on a self-healing journey. Please give your partner the courtesy and the respect of letting them know that that's where you are, and letting them know that, hey, this is what's showing up for you, and having that adult, honest, loving, compassionate conversation so that, again, you're not burning bridges, but you can continue to have a loving relationship in maybe a different way.
And the last thing that we can bring up for this episode is just the question of, is monogamy really even for you? Because there are a lot of different ways of living. We'll say, like, I've had a lot of conversations with people arguing against monogamy. And I've spoken about this with a number of folks saying, hey, they'll say monogamy isn't even natural. Well, you know, I don't know if that's a real solid argument for any individual person. You could say, like, maybe it is natural for your time of life, like right now where you are, who you are. Maybe it's natural for the culture that you're living in right now. Maybe it's natural or not natural, right, for the belief system or view of life that you're in. And so that's really important if you start getting into this conversation, if you ever have one with someone who's cheated on you. And they're saying, oh, well, monogamy isn't even natural. Yeah, maybe not for you, right? Maybe not for you right now. And knowing that people change, and that, yes, there are plenty of other ways to live. There's polyamory. There are all sorts of different communal styles of living. There is almost like, you know, the sister wives thing, small community. All those things could work. And it's not to say that monogamy has to work either. You kind of have to feel things out for yourself. Maybe you're at a time in your life where monogamy just isn't for you. And the moment that you can accept that is the moment that you can resolve all this stuff, right? Because then you can be honest and open and just like, oh, not interested. And so you get into relationships with people who are on the same page, and then you eliminate the whole idea of infidelity because it's part of the rules, right? There can't be infidelity in that. Or I've met some people who are in open relationships, but they cannot have sex with anybody else unless their partner is there or unless they've asked for permission or whatever, right? They have their rules and structures for these things. And so that's also open for you, right? To explore these different ways of being and not just to blindly accept that your relationships must be monogamous or not, right? Just because someone else has told you that this is how people in general are. Again, you got to feel things out for yourself. And then once you find out what's right for you, commit to that and let people know however way you've gone, right? That goes back to communication. Just letting it be known early, right? And clearly that this is how you expect this relationship to go, and then allow the other person to opt in or opt out, which could really nip the whole question in the bud before the relationship even happens.
Absolutely. And I love that you brought this up because, again, there is no right or wrong. It's just about what makes sense for you where you currently are. And if monogamy isn't the type of relationship that you want to sustain currently, then giving yourself permission to step into your authentic self, whatever that currently is, and being honest about that with whomever you come into possibility with, so that they can fully understand and that nobody feels like they've been lied to, but everyone knows and understands what they're getting into. So on that note, we have a really, really cool exercise for you guys on this episode.
Yep, yep. And as we've been talking about this so many times, being a good partner starts off with being a great partner to yourself. And when we talk about needs and satisfying and fulfilling, well, it starts off with you knowing what's going on within you. Because as we've mentioned so many times, so many problems can be avoided if you just know what you want, know what you need, and communicate it clearly to your partner. And when both people can do it, you can resolve a lot of heartache and problem way before it even has a chance to start. So your task for this episode is to identify what you need in a relationship. What do you need from your partner? What do you need to feel? What's important to you? And how do you like hearing it, seeing it, feeling it, knowing it? So that you can build a tight relationship devoid of infidelity or even the space for it to happen. And then if you're in a relationship right now, part of your task for this is to have that conversation and to ask for your partner to do the same. And then you can have that open heart. This is what I want. This is what I need. This is how I like to have it. Can you help me out with this? And I promise, you know, when you really have that serious conversation and be open and accepting for whatever your partner may say and for whatever you may say, then I promise your relationship will improve just that instant, right? Boom, you'll have a breakthrough.
Absolutely. So take the time, really implement this exercise, really give yourself permission to feel into it and figure out, discover what really are the truths for you. And on that note, guys, we will see you on the next episode.
See ya.